This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey. Chapter 45. Tom could sense Tessa just as he had when Silas had touched him a few minutes ago, and when he'd begun this strange journey from cavern to Labrat. The sense of her was the same. She was still in the dark, still confused and still operating an automatic pilot. But it was different too. There was a direction to the link and he desperately wanted to follow it. Without thinking about what he was doing or how, Tom drifted upwards from his body, curiously noting the boy before him looking ahead as though nothing was more natural. He did not think of Silas. Had no inkling or interest of whether the man would follow him to his sister's location or not. What he did not expect was a restraining hand pulling him gently to earth until he was back in the booth, back inside his body on the chair. He could have struggled, and Tom was quite sure that he would have won, but the man was guiding, not bullying him, and somehow, to Tom, this made all the difference. Wherever this strange power, and whatever his thoughts on Silas, it was he who'd brought him to this place, and he who had shown him the power of his own mind. It seemed perfectly natural to let him lead now. After all, they both wanted the same thing. They both wanted to find Tessa.
"That's not the way, Tom."
The words sounded in his head, but he knew they came from Silas as he tapped at the keyboard.
"The journey's confused you. We need to correct that. You need to trust me until we're ready to move."
That word, trust, coming from Silas, jarred Tom. It was one thing to risk everything for someone he loved, something else entirely to wipe the stain of abuse from his heart.
"I can find her," the boy said to himself,
and knew that Silas would hear.
"Perhaps, but if you're wrong, we'll lose time. Slow down, boy. And listen to me."
Tom thought he heard Tess whimpering, and with enormous willpower set his mind to listen to what Silas had to say. He would give him his chance. The situation reminded him of Catriona. She had convinced Tom to delay travelling to Lochranza when it was dark. Getting lost for the sake of a few minutes would be a disaster that might cause his sister everything. He could not live with the thought that he might have saved her, if only he'd listened to Silas.
"I want you to think about your first moments here."
Tom was confused. He was about to tell Silas this, but the man seemed to know he did not understand and said,
"You told Howard you woke up below a cliff. Is that your earliest memory?"
"Before I got to Cregan, yes."
"We start there."
Tom understood. He visualized himself waking beneath the cliff. His journey through the night, the storm, the cottage, his run over the hill and then the helicopter ride to the house. The land lay before him in his thoughts, and almost immediately he found himself retracing the route, flying there as though a gliding bird until he saw himself lying beneath the steep face, unconscious, his left leg bent and tucked under his right knee, his hand covered in blood. Tom knew that what he was looking at was a vivid and realistic memory, but the sensation was uncanny. "Tessa's not here." He turned and looked across the water beyond the Ayrshire coast.
Tessa, she was out there. He was sure of it.
Silas was by his side and drifted to the ground. He sat beside the motionless boy and placed his hands either side of his head. As he did, and as Tom watched from a few feet above, he felt a slight pressure in each of his temples, as though the man was actually touching him. Tom looked back over his shoulder. The compulsion to leave this place and follow his own instincts to find his sister almost irresistible. He concentrated on the beat of her, noting that her breathing and his own seemed to be as one. Could she sense his presence? And then he looked along the coast towards Craigan, towards home. Kathleen and Tess were no longer there, and Catriona and her father should be gone too. It was pointless dreaming of what might have been. But that too had a powerful attraction for him. So close to Silas, he felt alone and deserted. The boy lying there had no idea what was about to happen to him, no knowledge of the girl that would soon enter his life. He would be with her soon. In Tom's disorientation, he was jealous. Jealous of a memory, his own memory at that. He was going crazy at last. Tempted as he was to look at the cottage, Tom knew that finding Tess was far more important. Unable to resist the pull, he decided to act. He could wait no longer. Whatever Silas was up to, he would have to... And then, whatever choice he had, evaporated with the world he looked down upon. Tom was suddenly dragged towards his own prostrate body and merged with it. For a brief instant, he lay with his eyes closed, and then the events leading up to his journey to the cliff flashed before him as though it was happening right now. In truth, as the journey played out before him, Tom had no idea whether he was remembering or travelling for real. He stood on top of a mountain, his sister Tessa and he watching a bright ball of light glide towards them. It seemed to veer to one side and then correct itself, and Tom had the sense that the girl and he were drawing it towards them. As it closed on the pair, they stood their ground, unafraid. Closer and closer it came, and as it neared, he saw that the ball, the size of a squash court, was not an amorphous blob of light, but had a strange and ever-shifting texture. Its surface warped and bulged like a living bubble, its light a changing play of colours. It formed and reformed as though it was not an entity travelling in space, but walls of light that vanished and reappeared, a constant shift of creation and extinction that got closer and closer to the siblings willing it their way. There was no sense of breaking through the wall. At one point the light was in front, and then the next it surrounded them. They stood in its centre, suspended from the ground, the shimmering colours engulfing them, the mountain they stood on drifting away, dwindling in size, the surrounding land shrinking to a dot, water and mountains crushing it to insignificance. This compressed view accelerated faster and faster, and soon Tom recognised the view of Earth he'd shared with Silas minutes before. This time, he and Tessa travelled at speed away from the planet, and Tom knew now that what he was witnessing, remembering, was not just an image but something that really happened. As he felt the journey quicken to light speed, the universe seemed to vanish, and beyond the spherical wall there was nothing but black space. As quickly as this happened, the universe reappeared, and before them, 10 miles across, another sphere, this time made of a dull metal, opened before them and swallowed the light whole. Inside, the walls evaporated. The pair stood on a large platform watching another ball of light approach, engulf and carry them once more beyond the strange craft hanging stationary in the middle of some indistinct point of the universe. And so the journey continued, speeding up until everything disappeared, and then another giant metal sphere, another transfer, and another leg of the journey. On and on it went, 13 times the sequence repeated itself. And then, at last, standing on another platform, Tom and Tess entered separate spheres, and minutes later Tom opened his eyes, looked up at the cliff, and wondered who and where he was.
Chapter 46. Tom opened his eyes to a blue sky.
He lay on his back and, without moving his body, scanned what he could of his surroundings. The first thing he recognized was the man kneeling beside him. His skin was baby white, his thin face elongated by his gaping mouth as he seemed to speak to him in slow motion. But as the words came, Tom realized that George Silas was not speaking in the conventional sense, but throwing his thoughts across the short distance between them while panting with excitement.
"The light, boy. Did you feel it?"
"I saw it."
"But did you feel it?"
This was a strange question. Tom recounted the journey he'd just recalled and could not remember what he'd actually been thinking of as the light drew towards them in the mountain.
"I saw it,"
he repeated. For a brief moment, Silas's face contorted with rage, his cheeks reddening like a teething child's. But just as quickly, he calmed and cupped Tom's head in his hands.
"You can do this, Tom. You've done it before."
The hand squeezed and squeezed tighter. Tom struggled, his head tugging from side to side, trying to free himself from the unbearable pressure. Flowing from Silas's fingers through his skull, a sensation similar to the horror he had experienced in the cavern buzzed like a swarm of insects in his mind. A wild beast, Silas, was there too, picking and swiping at the scattering points in his mind, idiotically trying to herd the data swarm to some semblance of order as he blundered through the nest. But as Silas' frantic efforts continued, Tom suddenly found himself eavesdropping on the man. Opening his mind to rape the boy's thoughts, Silas found himself vulnerable to the same fate. But Tom was better at it than him. With rapid and unerring accuracy, Tom found himself watching Chief Inspector Howard as he sat on the bench outside the mansion talking to an ancient, grey-haired man beside him. Tom recognized the scene he'd watched from behind the bay window when he'd first arrived at the house. A conversation that took some minutes to complete in real life was Tom's in a fraction of that time. Anger and bile rose in his stomach as the words and their meaning hit him like well-thrown rocks.
"The girl's father. He's injured badly."
"So?"
"I need to get help in there."
"They know too much,"
Silas spat.
"I need to find out if the boy discovered anything at Cregan. I'm too close to fail now."
"He could die."
"Listen, Chief Inspector."
Silas used the title as though it was a mark of derision.
"We both know you're going to call off the search. You debriefed the boy alone."
Howard nodded.
"Good. No one knows about the girl and her father. Give me some time before you do anything. I'll take care of the boy. You just do as you're told."
Tom sat up, a sudden fury forcing him to forget the fact that he was still, in reality, sitting in the booth in Silas's lab and not, as it seemed, under a cliff near Cregan. He wrenched himself free of Silas's grip and punched him hard in the face. Silas reeled back in shock, the buzzing in Tom's head suddenly gone as he broke contact. Tom pushed himself to his feet, and as his hand thrust upwards from the mossy vegetation, the fingers of his right hand wrapped around a roughened stone. Without thinking, determined to kill the brute who had left Catriona and her father stranded at Cregan, he launched himself upwards. Silas staggered back, but Tom did not give him time to recover. He swung the rock hard, his arm outstretched, felt the satisfying crunch of bone on stone and then the give of soft tissue as the pale moon tumbled backwards behind a large boulder and disappeared. Shaking in anger, awash in adrenaline, Tom spent no time pitying the monster he might have just killed. He looked at his hand, bloodened red, recognized a faint memory he had no time to focus on. He followed Silas, determined to hurt him, determined to make sure he was dead if he wasn't already gone. Silas bled badly. An enormous gash merged with an unshapely depression in his bald head, the smashed shell of a giant breakfast egg. He lay at an awkward angle, his back doubled over a spiked boulder. But he was alive. The body stirred. Eyes popped wide open to stare at the boy. There was no fear in those eyes, only fury. The man did not attempt to get up, not in the real sense. But Tom noticed a slight blurring of his outline and he suddenly remembered that what was happening here could not be real. Even so, real or not, he knew instinctively that he'd hurt Silas bad. The hideous creature rose, floating an inch above himself like a ghosting TV picture. Tom was about to lose his advantage. Worse, he was certain that he could learn more from him, here and now, in his weakened state, than he ever could at any other time. It was now or never. He leapt at the man, his anger instilling a strength of mind greater than its physical equivalent in the material world. Silas's anger at last swung to shock. He jerked back to the ground, a reflex action driven by fear. Tom grabbed the man's head. He gripped it tight either side, his palms pushing hard against the buckling skull. He felt and heard the shifting grind of gristle and bone. At the same time, Tom learned in the blink between this and Silas's sickening scream that he'd lied about Tessa too. He wanted Tom to take him somewhere. He wanted to know how the boy controlled his fear. He wanted to go home. But as quickly as the thoughts were his, Silas disappeared. Tom looked at his empty hand, blood smearing his fingers. He almost crumpled with the enormity of his situation. He shook his head, knowing that he could not afford the time to sit and think. Catriona and her father needed him, and Tess too. He had to shake himself into the present, rise from the stupor that afflicted him back in the chair. As this realization swung him to action, he understood that he was in great danger. Standing on the slope, looking at the white-flecked sea, a gentle breeze ruffled his hair. His body vibrated with a tense and powerful anger, and his mind reeled in wild flights of comprehension and confusion. Like a fleet of rushing dolls, his worlds within worlds were so real that he had to force himself to remember he was actually sitting in Silas's lab. He was strapped to the chair and Silas was free beyond the cubicle. He could sense the man's anger boil between them like scalding tar. Tom did not have to journey back the way he came. He did not have to waste time retracing the route of a remembered landscape to return to the lab. Angry and determined, he simply opened his eyes to see Silas leap to his feet and grasp the side of his head where Tom had hit him. There was no blood, no obvious damage, but still the man crumpled to his knees, clutching the bench for support as he went down. Tom struggled to free himself from the straps locking his wrists and ankles, but even though they were not the shackles he'd feared, they bound him tight just the same. Silas pulled himself up by grasping the wooden top. His body swayed and, mid-lift, he doubled over and clutched his stomach. Tom struggled uselessly as Silas recovered, his face changing, his stature growing inch by inch. Seconds later, he stood tall and turned a cruel smile on the boy. In control again, he tapped the keyboard and set Tom's world on fire.
DreamWorks.com.